Thank you for coming this afternoon, and good afternoon to all of you. So some of the issues with no-till have been discussed over the last number of years, and we are going to talk about no-till and other tillage and the impact on soil carbon sequestration. This is through work that I've done at the Nicholas Institute for Environmental Policy Solutions. I've most recently moved to the University of Alberta, but still maintaining some connections with Duke in this work, and would like to acknowledge the Packard Foundation for funding the TAG project. So some of the discussions about whether no-till can actually sequester soil carbon really came to a head when Baker et al. Published the paper in 2007 in Agriculture, Ecosystems, and Environment. And in that paper, they used some data from a recent review by Bert van den Bygaert et al., which included a lot of data from Canada, including five different five different observations from Eastern Canada that had significant depth of sampling, and of those studies, none of them had significant increase in soil carbon. So the authors of this paper, seeing as that was some of the only data with significant depth of sampling, concluded that if you sample to depth, especially in these moldboard plow systems moving to no-till, that we may not actually see as much increase in soil carbon sequestration as what we originally were thinking. And then another paper in the same journal was coming up with similar conclusions after a meta-analysis of 69 paired experiments from a global data set, and determined that there was indeed no difference between conventional tillage and no-till, and also indicated that the pattern of change was not related to climate. So these conclusions really garnered a lot of response from people within the soil science community, and people were starting to wonder whether sampling depth does have an impact, and whether if we do indeed sample to depth, if we are seeing an increase in soil carbon or not. And then it also included discussions about variability, the significant variability in the data sets at depth. Is that meaning that we're just not able to detect a real change? And do we indeed need more samples in order to detect the real change that's there? Is that why we're seeing no significance? And also questions about regional differences, how do temperature, rainfall, and soil type and other factors affect the carbon dynamics in the soil? And then some conversations about the time since conversion, how does saturation play a role, and how do the soil carbon dynamics change over time? Some other things to consider, and I'll be going into these a little bit more, is that we don't always have a very clear definition or common practice for conventional tillage. Now, often we have, in some cases, we have moldboard plow, in other cases we have chisel plow, in other cases we have disc tillage, and all of these are very different degrees of tillage intensity, and then we take that, lump them all together, and say, when we move from this conventional tillage to no-till, this is what the result is. So, and also, in many of these cases, the depth of tillage can be significantly variable. When we look at conservation tillage, not just no-till, but other kinds of conservation tillage, we also have a lot of alternatives in the literature and in on-farm practice, and these include ridge-till and reduced-till and strip-till, biennial tillage, and a number of other ones, the data being restricted to the ones that I've listed here, largely anyways. And the other thing to note is that the definition of conservation tillage also has a residue component, so it doesn't even necessarily deal with the tillage implement or the actual practice of tillage, but if you define conservation tillage with the NRCS definition, it just says we maintain a 30% cover of residue in the system. So it's a little bit ambiguous. So we can look at tillage systems and put them in nice, neat boxes and end up with conventional to conservation to no-till being kind of the varying intensities of tillage, but unfortunately they don't end up fitting in such nice, neat boxes where we have from the most disturbance to the least disturbance, and we have this whole schmoz of various activities that can move back and forth on this line. So we can have chisel plow that's a lot of disturbance, very similar to moldboard plow, or it could be moving towards the less disturbance and be very close to disc tillage, depending on the number of passes over a field or the depth of tillage, for example. So we ended up taking a data set of tillage experiments and the impact on soil carbon. We have 550 observations, and of these, this chart indicates the number of observations that were moldboard to no-till, chisel plow to no-till, disc to no-till, and then undefined conventional to no-till, in that maybe some further exploration might be able to fit some of those into these other categories, but that's where we're at right now. And then we have almost 100 that were conventional till to some form of conservation tillage. Then we have undefined conservation tillage, minimum till, reduced till, and ridge till, and a couple other small ones. And then we also have a few observations of conservation tillage to no-till, and we have the impact on soil carbon in those experiments as well. This total does not add up to the full 550 because there were a few other that don't fit into these nice, neat categories. So for now, we're going to focus on these. Some other data set details, we have 134 original sources, so that's how many papers were included in this data set. The data come from 30 different states and Canadian provinces and 7 other countries, and with a little bit further work, if I can find a student to pull together some of this data, we can also get all the lat-long coordinates for these and do some spatial statistics on that as well. 182 or 33% of these observations were more than 30 centimeters in depth by sampling. The mean depth was 39.7. The vast majority, 81%, were more than 5 years, and the mean time was 13.1. 30% of the observations were clay-type soils, and 39 observations were in the northeast U.S. and Canada, so Quebec, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Maryland. 69 observations were in Texas, and the interesting thing is that Texas is really interacting with clay-type soils in this data set, and we ended up with 87% of the Texan observations were clay-type soils, so that clay was somewhere in the name of the soil. So that's how we kind of split these up. And all of the Texas observations were 30 centimeters or less in depth of sampling. The Nebraska samples, we have 62 observations, and Georgia 59. So those are the states that had the most information coming from them. Although the Georgia samples, 68% of them were 3 years time frame, so those weren't included in all of our analyses because of the short time frame. So we did a linear regression with robust standard errors, a multinomial regression conventional tillage to no-till, and we end up with a total N of 291 observations and a really small R-squared value, but that's what we get with some of these multinomial regressions. So we do end up with a few of the variables that are significant, Georgia being one of them, in that higher levels of carbon change, if all other variables are held constant, there's more carbon change happening in Georgia by adoption of no-till. More carbon change with a clay soil type, less with moldboard plow than other options, less with chisel plow than other options, and the average modeled soil organic carbon change with no-till adoption for all of these data is 0.98 tons of carbon dioxide equivalents per year. So what do some of these things mean? We've got, just to put it in a picture, if we have Georgia, we have an average of almost 1.7. Not in Georgia, an average of less than 1. Clay-type soils, if all other variables are held constant, we have over 1.4 change. And if it's not a clay-type soil, then quite a bit less. And then moldboard and chisel plow, of course, you can't have both of them at the same time. So these averages take that into consideration in the model. And a moldboard plow is significantly less than those that are not moldboard plow, which this includes chisel plow. And then chisel plow is significantly less than those that are not chisel plow. So that means that we end up with the disc tillage and the undefined conventional tillage ended up with significantly higher values of soil organic carbon change. So what factors did not actually affect soil carbon change when no-till was adopted, which was of kind of interest because these have all been under discussion. When the experiments used a mass equivalence calculations at this point, not everybody reported that, but for the information that we have, there doesn't seem to be a significant difference. I'm thinking that if I can find some more data collection and define that a little bit more. I think we didn't have very many of the observations were mass equivalents at this point. Maybe as we expand a data set, we might find that that's actually significant, but this is something of interest. And it also, that of course is only going to have a significant impact if there was a bulk density change. Depth of sampling didn't have an impact, and different locations that are on this list also did not have an impact. And if we note, the northeast, as in most cases, seems to have a negative impact, but when we corrected for some of these other factors, then the northeast came out of the analysis. Brazil seemed to look like it might have a positive effect, but then a lot of the Brazilian samples were also sampled quite to significant depth, and so that may have increased those values. So then when those two interacted, then that canceled out as well. When we looked at different crop types, corn and wheat, neither of those had any significant difference when compared to other crop types. And the disc to no-till as compared to the other baselines, even though the moldboard plow and the chisel plow were significantly different from the disc. And then also the number of years of the experiment didn't have a significant impact. This is a linear regression, and so the relationship of years may not be linear, and so that assumption is probably something that needs to be considered a little bit more. So here's a picture of some of the things that had an impact, and we look at the closed circles are clay soils, and this is over time. So even though time did not have a significant impact, you can see that we have much higher variability in the earlier time frame, and the variability goes significantly down over time. So that variability is something that we need to consider. So there's not a significant impact on the mean, but the variability significantly changes over time. And you can see that the clay soils tended to be above zero compared to the, there were more of those that were above zero. So that's how you can see that's significant. So when we look at converting from conventional till to conservation tillage, did a similar regression model, ended up with not very many, not a whole lot of variables that were significant, but the average change again was positive, and 0.73 tons of CO2 equivalents per hectare per year. No differences between the different types of conservation tillage. Again, that could be just from having lack of total numbers of observations, because in this model we only have 59 total observations. Crop type is not significant. Texas tends to have a lower effect, and the Nebraska samples were higher. And if we can see how that works out in this chart of all the observations here, we have over time the Nebraska samples all fit in here at about 22 years, and so that could explain why the Nebraska samples were significantly higher. They're also really tight together as well, not very significant variability. So in conclusion, the variability in the change of soil organic carbon measurements does significantly decrease over time, and we saw that in both the conversion from conventional tillage to no-till and the conversion from conventional till to conservation till. The baseline conventional tillage significantly affects soil organic carbon storage rate, which is something that hasn't really been looked at before in a large data set like this. And the regional effects can be quite significant, which was a little bit surprising, is that in this case the depth of sampling didn't seem to have a significant effect on the soil carbon storage rate. And that's all I have. Yes, Reynolds.
Just to clarify from what you were saying, the moldboard plow was one of the factors, and the carbon change was less when it was coming from moldboard plow. Is that
the question is whether the carbon change from moldboard plow was less than when switching from some of the other conservation, from the other conventional tillage practices? Yes. The observations with all other factors held constant. If we're switching from moldboard plow to no-till, we had less carbon storage in this data set than starting with a different conventional tillage practice.
So then follow up, moldboard plow, there's a relationship between where that's used, it's required for different
systems,
and that should be
Yeah, so it there could be something, and I think maybe by incorporating a little bit more of some of the weather factors and things like that, we may be able to tease some of that out, is why is this moldboard plow having less of an impact than some of the others? And by including all the different states at the right now, the scale of region was just at a state province level, and I think that if we end up with a smaller scale of spatially, we may end up being able to tease some of that out. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much.